Hallo und ganz liebe Grüße aus Lübeck. Heute ist der beste Tag deines Lebens und ich freue mich riesig. Now I switch in English. I'm so happy to have Ajit Kaur here. It was a wish for me for a very long time to have a special interview with you. And since I had the chance to meet you recently at Experience Festival and ask you personally if you are ready to join me with an interview. So, and I'm really happy to have you here, and you are a most wonderful singer and songwriter, and I love your music, and welcome in our channel, Ajit.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, nice. Very nice. I don't remember. I think it was like 2 years ago or something that I was on YouTube and listening to some mantras, and then I found you, and I was so flashed. I don't know if this is the right name in English, but I was so touched by your being, by your voice, by just everything you, I felt when I saw you in the videos and heard your music. So, and then I was listening to your mantras endless times. And so it's really nice to finally meet you personally over the ocean.
Yeah.
Very nice. So I'm really curious how did this all start? I mean, now you're quite famous in the mantra world. How did this all start when did you start to make music and to sing?
Oh, such a good question. I mean, it was very like organic for me, how it began, and almost like didn't have a beginning. But lots of things happened that, you know, led to this moment. And I guess the beginning for me was just growing up singing. My family is very musical. Mm-hmm. And it's very much a part of especially my Irish family. It's very much a part of the kind of family way at the end of a dinner to everyone sings a song or, you know, like reads a poem or shares something, even if they're not musical. But I grew up with a lot of kind of learning songs within a very like natural and relaxed short sort of sharing in a cozy family way. So music was always very important to me. And then I was very inspired by it, so I started studying Irish song and also Appalachian song traditions because I was also interested in kind of, since my own family moved from Ireland across to the US, you know, that's kind of my own ancestral mm-hmm. movement. Mm-hmm. And then I was interested in that being reflected in song, so I was studying these song traditions where the music had also made that similar journey. And I was always really moved by kind of storytelling through song and how you could feel things in music that couldn't really be expressed any other way. Mm-hmm. Like something could be put across between people that's very specific in music and is, in my experience, not really the same in anything else. And so I always sang, but really very much for my own personal like love of it. And if any kind of sharing, really within like a family setting. So a very relaxed and unpressured setting. But then I was studying at university and I was in my last year. I was just about to graduate university and I was at a festival and somebody got sick and they needed someone, you know, to come and fill in and mm-hmm. and play last minute, and there were 2,000 people sitting there waiting for this person to play. And one of my friends was the stage manager, and they saw me out in the audience and they knew that I could sing and they knew I could play guitar, and they had a guitar that was the person's guitar, and they came and they just kind of tapped me on the shoulder and said, "We need you to sing." And I was like, in front of all these people? Really? But I went and I just sang a song. And then this record label that I worked with for quite a few years, Spirit Voyage, they had a booth at this festival. And people kept going to the booth asking for my CD because they assumed if someone's playing for 2,000 people, they must have a CD, must have an album.
Yeah.
And of course, I didn't. I was not a professional musician by any means at that moment. But the record label got enough questions for my album that they decided they wanted me to make an album. So that was how it went.
So you immediately started with a big audience, and you've been, I think you were extremely excited, right?
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny how, for me, I think it was growing up with music being a really like not so special thing. I mean, it's very special, but like not a thing that would be limited to only musicians or only people who have musical talent. Like people in my family will sing whether they have musical talent or not, and they'll sing very moving songs. And it's more about the feeling than it is about like how good you are. And then also my parents are kind of very public people. And so I grew up watching them speak in front of many people, and kind of, I grew up with that like public way. And I don't think I'm very kind of internal and introverted generally, but I think for me, all of these things are like very natural. There's an ease to it because it's very familiar to me.
Yeah.
So I never felt like super excited to be public. And I also never felt super afraid to be public because it all feels kind of like a natural unfolding, I guess.
Yeah, that's perfect. So are your parents doing? Why are they often in public? Do they also do music or?
So my father's a musician, but that's not so much what he's doing in his public life. He's a writer, mm-hmm. and he writes books about spirituality and the soul. Yeah. And so I grew up going to his lectures and retreats and, you know, kind of traveling a lot on his book tours. Mm-hmm. So touring is very familiar to me.
Okay.
And my mother is an artist. She's a painter. Mm-hmm. And she's also a yoga teacher. And so just there's a lot of that kind of sharing within my family's mm-hmm. culture and work. There's always been a lot of other people around.
So it sounds like you had a wonderful upbringing and a great environment and a wonderful parents to grow up with and to learn from, right?
Definitely. I think I've been very, very lucky. My parents are incredible people and they raised me in a very creative way, me and my brother.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, there's, of course, I've had my challenges and my shadow experiences. And I think, you know, all of us, whatever our situation, we have those moments of light and dark.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes people who know my parents, they say, wow, you know, you got these incredible people. And it's like, yeah, of course. But, you know, don't look at anyone's life and think that they're somehow it's perfect. Or
mm-hmm.
like, I think we all get just the right amount of shadow and light.
Yeah. Yeah. How did it happen that you started to sing mantras?
Well, my mother met Yogi Bhajan, the teacher of Kundalini Yoga,
mm-hmm.
who was from India originally. She met him when she was in her 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So she was practicing yoga for a long time. And by the time I was born, she had already been practicing. And so I was really brought up with yoga around and also the music and the chanting, especially. I think I was maybe 10 or 11 when I first went to a kind of a meditation retreat and I met Sanatam Kaur.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard her singing and was very inspired by the way that she, you know, she was very young then. She was a teenager then. So she had this kind of edgy spunk to her. She was like kind of singing these English songs with her guitar and like really playing the guitar so hard. And she was very passionate. And so I loved that kind of moment as a little kid, kind of looking at her, kind of discovering her own music was definitely a big part of my like interest in mantra developing.
And did Sanatan Kaur only make mantras, or did she also sing, but because you said she was singing English songs, did she also make other music?
Yeah, she did. I don't want to give away any of her secrets. I don't know what, but yeah, she writes her own songs, and she kind of always has, from what I know. Like she, at that time she was a teenager, and she was writing these English songs, and she has a lot of creativity in her. And I think it's interesting, I find, with the balance of like songwriting and mantra music, they're just totally different spaces that one goes to in themselves. And I think they're both really precious. Like there's kind of a way in which you can leave this world when you sing mantra and you join into this thing that people have been singing those words for thousands of years. And I think especially at this time in Sanatam's life, she's very, very much, I think, especially interested and drawn to and going really deeply into that aspect of it. Mm-hmm. But I think other moments in her work, she's also done what I think now I've been doing a little more the last couple of years, which is kind of focusing more than on songwriting as a different river. You know, it's also this place of creativity that doesn't feel personal. Like it feels like it comes from somewhere, but it's a different feeling than these two kind of really, I find them both really special practices.
And now you do both, right? I mean, you're singing mantras, but you also produce your own songs.
And yeah.
Do you also write your own poems?
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
I grew up, again, kind of going back to childhood with these eclectic, a little bit wild parents. I had so many poets around me always, my entire life. And I think maybe my parents did that on purpose. You know, they thought if there's enough poets around, maybe it'll rub off. But I always really loved poetry and storytelling. And especially, you know, when someone just kind of stands up in a room and starts speaking poetry or singing poetry, it's like, for me, those are the best moments of life. There's this truth in it and this, I don't know, this like direct line to your feeling, you know, that I find very powerful.
Yeah, beautiful. And did you... You also choose it's your name, right? I mean, Ajit Kaur is I don't know if my pronunciation is right, but it's a name which comes from Kundalini yoga, right?
It is, yeah. So this is the name that I use with my music, because a lot of, especially the music at the beginning, and I think really throughout all the music I make with that name, that kind of Sanskrit name, is in connection to the yogic tradition and to, you know, opening a space, or my hope is that the music creates a space where people can really relax and feel, even if they're not practicing yoga or meditation with the music, I hope that the music itself gives you what a practice would, like that it could soften and open and help you relax and feel good, you know, feel soft and connected to oneself. So so the name is something that I was given by Yogi Bhajan when I was born. So my mom wrote him a letter when I was born and said, you know, I had a baby. what should her spiritual name be? And he said Ajit Kaur, which means without defeat or or invincible.
Invincible, ah.
Mm-hmm. And so I use that for my music, and yeah, it feels really good to have that kind of connection to the lineage as a part of this musical life.
Yeah, very beautiful. And do you still practice Kundalini yoga?
I do, yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially the meditation. And there's a branch of Kundalini yoga that is like a healing practice, kind of along the same lines as Reiki would be. Like it's a very kind of subtle, non-invasive sort of healing practice with meditation. And that has been really important in my life. So that would be kind of the part of the practice that is most a part of my own life and practice.
Did you learn this from a special teacher?
I did, yeah. I had some illness when I was a child, and when I was about 8, I met this teacher. His name is Gurudev. And you know him?
I know him, yeah.
Oh, great. How did you meet him?
Well, I was many years ago, I was very intensely studying Kundalini yoga. I did like for 4 years, I practiced it like 2 to 3 hours per day.
Wow.
I went to all the yoga festivals in France, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then, so I was also very strongly in this tradition, and I also met Guru Dev Singh in France.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I'm also very connected to this tradition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great to know. It's such a unique path. Like it's such a unique tradition. And I think the practice is very powerful and also kind of subtle in its own way. Like it's really, it's so many things, and it's depending on how you're approaching it or which aspect of the practice you're really connected to. Like Satnam Rasayan is very gentle. It's very rooted in the Buddhist tradition. So like for someone who had practiced a lot of Zen meditation or Tibetan, especially Tibetan Buddhist meditation, mm-hmm. would probably feel very comfortable going into Satnam Rasayan, almost like it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then if somebody practices like Ashtanga yoga, and then they go to, you know, there are some teachers like this amazing teacher, Gurmukh. She teaches a really intense physical class. And, you know, you go to her class and it feels more like Ashtanga yoga or something. So it's very interesting. I think Kundalini yoga, it can be so many things. But the part of it that I relate to most is really, or that I guess have just had in my life more, is the Satnam Rasayan practice. And Gurudev has always been, he's kind of like a grand godfather or something to me. Like he's like a really important kind of spiritual guide, and also just like loving presence that has been there since I was a child. And he's just always been so supportive and kind of always a touchstone to come back to.
Yeah. And did he heal you when you had this disease in your childhood?
He did, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, many, many times. Like I really struggled from when I was about like 8 or 9 until I was like 16 or 17. It was a really hard time for me in my body. And then I've had some other moments, but that was the main time where it was really difficult. And I would see him a couple of times a year. And I just had amazing experiences with kind of feeling empowered again. I think when you're in illness, it can be very hopeless and kind of, and you can feel like it's never going to change or never going to end. And, you know, doctor after doctor, and it all kind of just makes it worse and tangles into this mess. And I don't know, maybe some people listening are having that experience because illness is a part of human life. But for me, Gurudev has been kind of a place where then when I went to him, everything, like all that tangle kind of relaxed, and I was able to really not only be kind of healed by him, but he was always empowering me how I could heal myself and how I could feel better in myself. And so I think that more than anything was what really changed things for me.
Wow, wow. Beautiful. Do you still see him?
I do, yeah.
So yeah. Do you visit him, or does he, where does he live? Does he still live in Italy, or?
He lives in Mexico now. He's kind of, okay. He said he was retiring back home, like, because he's from Mexico originally. And, but then, of course, he's not really retiring. If you look at his website, he's teaching, like, all over Europe. Even though he's been really struggling with his own health, he's very committed to his purpose.
Yeah, wow. And this special healing method you're practicing, can you tell us a little bit about this, how this works, or how this looks like, what kind of practice it is?
Yeah, I think it's really based in silent meditation and then also supported by other meditative practices from the Kundalini tradition. And it's really a very ancient practice, you know, thousands of years old, and people have really been studying for thousands of years how our own meditation practice can then impact other people. Like, if we are all in a way connected and always kind of feeling each other. And I think it's pretty simple. Like, if you think of how you feel when you're with another person, or when someone walks into a room who has that kind of very relaxed presence, or someone comes in the room who has a very tense presence, mm-hmm. we feel impacted by mm-hmm. other people. And so this tradition of healing through meditation is really exploring that, I think, like going and has been exploring it for thousands of years. So there's actually quite a lot that has been discovered within that about how we can be with another person and allow our own meditative practice to not only be for ourselves, but to actually relax another person's system through that meditative practice. And it's pretty amazing. And Gurudev also has a big background, extensive background in shamanic practice, mm-hmm. Growing up in Mexico and studying with indigenous healers there. And that's also really continued, you know, now he's often sending people to indigenous healers who come to him. He'll give them a healing, but then he'll kind of refer people on to also bringing these other healing modalities. And so I think, yeah, it's very rich what he offers, and the things I've learned from him have been just very fun, very, like, really kind of amazing to have that experience in your own system, in your own body, of healing, of going from pain, actual just physical felt pain and challenge, being able to also then work with that and really, I think, get a lot from it. Like, I've gotten a lot from those experiences of illness.
Wow, sounds really beautiful.
Beautiful, and at moments probably harder to see how beautiful. But also, yeah, I think overall really, really important.
So would you, is Kundalini, the Kundalini yoga tradition, is this kind of, would you consider yourself to be part of a religion, or is this more like a, you know, with obligations like wearing a turban, or is it for you more just a path which is very free, where you can just choose, follow your own flow?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can really choose. Some people do choose a religion, or you know, to really be like solely in that world of Kundalini yoga. And I feel personally like it's really important for me to be able to just be a person and have all of these different kind of moments and people who have impacted my life be able to have a space within that, but then also to just be able to keep walking and keep finding new things that inspire and take those things, of course, like hold those things close and appreciate the things that have been there. But for me, like Kundalini Yoga was really a part of my childhood and a part of my upbringing. And I think that's something that I can like integrate into life. And I think also someone who were to meet that practice later in life could do the same thing. Like you don't have to give everything to it. But I think the practice itself, like any yoga or meditation practice, can be very supportive to kind of bringing together with other practices or with an artistic practice, a creative practice, and they can all support each other.
Yeah, it's really true. So how does your normal day look like if you would have a normal day?
Well I don't have too many normal days. I travel a lot to play music, and I love playing music live. You know, we were just together in Germany a few weeks ago. And I think I've been in like 5 or 6 countries since I saw you last.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay.
So there's a lot of travel, mm-hmm. but then when I'm home, I spend a lot of time in Ireland, and that's very cozy, like home time, friend time, and just like recharging. I spend a lot of time at the sea swimming.
So do you have a house which belongs to your family or in Ireland?
I have family who live outside of Dublin. Mm. But my kind of heart is really on the west coast of Ireland, and also more my life and my friends and everything. So I was living there and had a house there up until last February. But then I got this beautiful place that I'm talking to you from now, which is my new studio, which is in New Hampshire. And I've been really focusing the last few years on producing music more. So I like to follow kind of what the universe puts in front of me. And this place is in the middle of the woods. And there's nothing around. And so this is where I'm spending most of my time when I'm not traveling now. As much as I miss the sea on the west coast of Ireland, I know I'll be back there at some point. But for now, it's nice to be close to family and making music in my studio.
Ah, very nice. So you recently brought out a new CD, right?
Yes.
Which I bought.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Yeah, it's very beautiful. What would me really interest is how can you tell us how it came that you became so, let's say, in this spiritual world as a singer, that you became quite known? Was this like just developing over time, or did you have like a certain big event where you really came out, or how did you come so much into public?
I think one part of it was working with the record label Spirit Voyage. They already had, you know, quite a developed network, and so when I made my first album, they had a lot of people to kind of send it to and see, you know, how it landed. But then also at that time, I really recognized that I was kind of very lucky to be able to do what I love more than anything and have someone support that. So I decided to start touring and playing live events mm-hmm. at that same time. And so that was about 6 years ago. And I started playing for, you know, like somewhere between 5 people and 20 people at a time, you know, really small. And we'd tour in my little Volkswagen Golf tiny car. We'd pack all the sound system into it and drive around playing. Mm-hmm. And then every year it was like every time we went back to somewhere, there were like maybe twice as many people as were there the year before. Mm-hmm. And it's just stayed that way. So now it's just kind of twice as many people every year we go back, and every year we go kind of to some new places as well. And there have been moments where people have kind of approached me and said, like, you know, I can triple the size of your concerts if you give me this much money or whatever it is. And I'm kind of like, I don't know. I kind of like this. I like this way of doing it. I feel like the way that my career has grown is like, it's really people bringing their friends and bringing their like loved ones and finding the music online, feeling connected to it, and like, and then coming to a concert. It feels like everyone who's there is there because somehow they care. Mm-hmm. And so we have this beautiful community already there. Even if I've never met people, we're already connected because they already have some heart connection to what I've put out there.
Yeah.
And so I love the way it's grown. And I'm also so grateful, like when I'm there and people are singing along to a song that I've made within this kind of womb of my own personal space, and then you hear a room full of people singing it back to you. It's like, I mean, what could be better? what could be more satisfying than that?
Yeah, it's probably such a very special moment. I remember just this picture when we had this at Experience Festival. I just also share with my audience.
Please, yeah.
Beautiful workshop with you where everyone was singing and then we were toning, you know, like people was lying in the middle and then the other ones were toning for them. And then at the end, you and your crew, you were lying in the middle and we did tone to you. And it was so beautiful also, so because you are so so natural, so just it totally felt like you are one of us, you know. You are just completely... even if you are famous in a way, you know, you're so down to earth and so humble, and it was really untouchable also. It was really so nice to experience it.
Yeah. It's really special for me too, those moments, both in workshops and then also in kind of, we try to create moments in our touring and in our festivals and things that are very cozy and intimate and kind of family-like. And those moments really are important for me too. Just that feeling of constantly staying in our humanness and being able to connect with people. Just we're all just human. And then at the same time, I feel we all have so much within us that we can give to each other. So I prefer those moments where we're like in it together rather than me just on a stage with a microphone and everyone else just quietly listening. It's kind of like, that's not as fun as if we're all doing something together.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. So your friends, you're traveling, when you do your tours, I mean, you're touring all over the world, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you don't tour alone. Who's coming with you?
We have quite a crew now. We've got a big traveling family. Mm-hmm. So Ilana, who's our manager, comes and she's just like such a little spark of light, big spark of light, but little in physical form. and then we have Rafa, who's he's from Spain and an amazing percussionist, studied a lot in both India and Africa, mm-hmm. And South America as well. So he has just a very deep relationship to spirituality, indigenous spirituality of many cultures, and then also the world music and drumming of many cultures. So he's such a being, you know, to know. And then Ezra plays guitar, and he's from New Hampshire, the same little town as I grew up in. And he's just one of the sweetest, most selfless people you'll ever meet. He's always helping someone. He's always like ready to support anybody. It's not about who you are or that you're close to him. He's just like there for everyone. So, and then Ashling is who plays the harp and sings, mm-hmm. Is from Ireland, from the west of Ireland, County Kerry. And I'm like her number one fan. Just her own music is so incredible, and her voice and her harp playing just has brought so much to our band. Mm-hmm. And then we have also Marcel is from Germany, and he travels with us doing sound. And he used to be a DJ, so he is a DJ, but he used to like really DJ a lot. Yeah. And now he has children, so he's kind of got a real job, but he's still like, you can tell that DJ mentality of like the way he adjusts the sounds to move an audience, like he understands how sound moves a group of people. Mm-hmm. So that's also really cool to see. And then we often have a photographer with us as well, because video and photographs are really important to me, just as well as an art form. I have a lot of appreciation for that, and I love to be able to share the kind of experiences we have with our larger audience.
Yes.
So that's everybody.
Very nice. So you make photos and you put it on Instagram or Facebook, mm-hmm. and share it with your fans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very nice. Do you have like one song which is like the song you love the most?
That's hard. because certain songs, for the moments like when they came, they were so important, and they, because of that, it's like that moment lasts forever in a way. Mm-hmm. So like for me, I guess it's really hard to choose. I don't think I can choose.
Okay. So but one which like touches you very, very much.
Yeah. So from like older albums, definitely Hosea would be one that it's like really a constant experience, I think, for me, just being in relationship to my own femininity and my own experience as a woman. And it all, that song was really, I wrote it as a reminder kind of to myself to stay in support of other women and their experience, and to really be together in community. And that, you know, when we support each other, that's how we all rise. And when we kind of feel competitive with each other or judge each other, that really we all kind of fall together when that happens. So for me, that song always is really important reminder. And then also I think A Call is kind of forever important to me, because it was really a gift from life to get to make a song with Trevor Hall. And I think just to experience how that song came together was really magical, and how with very little, you know, we didn't know each other well and we didn't talk about the song very much. We just went into this creative space, and it was like, we both kind of knew what the song was. Mm-hmm. And I just, the first time I heard his part and what he was singing, I was just, it brought me to tears, because to kind of be in that space and have him understand so deeply what that song was for me as well was just very powerful. Mm-hmm. But I could keep going. Like each song has its own story and its own kind of way of coming, and it's really hard to choose.
Yeah, very, very beautiful. Mm-hmm. In the video in the Hosea video, there's also a Peja, right?
Yeah.
I watched her also being a little bit in the video, in the movie.
Yeah. So yeah, Peja is just such an amazing person. She I feel like she goes so deeply into whatever she's doing. She travels a lot around the world, and as each culture kind of draws her, she goes really deep into it. Like she doesn't skim the surface of anything. When she was like really interested in Peruvian music, she was just there living with families, you know, learning the old songs. And recently she's been living very close to where I've been in Ireland, and we both have ancestry there. And so she's been studying with really incredible teachers, like the best of the best there, and going super deeply into the Irish song tradition. I admire her so much just as a woman and as a person. And so she was the perfect person, I felt, for me to sing Hasea with, because I couldn't sing it alone. You know, it's a song about women coming together. Yeah. And so to sing with another woman who I admire and support so much, and I also feel from her so much love and support, mm-hmm. for me as an artist and as a woman, it was a very natural fit, really.
Yeah, it's a beautiful movie and beautiful song.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still sing Irish songs?
I do, yeah. And I have another kind of separate project with Aisling, who's in my band playing harp, where mm-hmm. we kind of really let out our more folk, Irish folk side. So we're working on our first album of like really fully folk songs and traditional Irish songs.
Yeah, very nice. Do you know Lorena McKennett?
I do, yeah. I mean, I don't know her personally, but I know her music.
Yeah, she's also great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She is, yeah.
Do you have like something or like a vision, something you want to bring to the people, or something you want to inspire people with your work? Do we have something you want to enrich in lives of others, or do you have something there, like a vision, a goal with the work you do, with the beautiful music you make?
Yeah. I think all of us kind of have our own temperament and our own way of being. And some people have really big kind of visions, like they want to, change the world, and it's like big, and the personality behind a person is also like just as big. And I kind of feel like I like to just like sit by the ocean and watch the waves. That's kind of more my temperament. And I think the music that I make, it kind of follows that. Like, it's very gentle at times, and I feel like it can still have power. Like, we're talking about the ocean, you know, that those waves have power. But there is a steady, gentle power that I feel really connected to. And that is like the sense of the natural world, like how that is imbued for me in every song that I make. And often the songs that I am sharing, or even the mantras that I'm sharing, they have the sounds of nature behind them. And so for me, like, I think bringing people in connection to the natural world, and between the it's like there's this weaving of what nature can give us and then also what music can give us, that when the two come together, it's, for me, it's very strong. Mm-hmm. And I think it can really reset us back to just relaxing into our most natural way of being, our most kind of relaxed state. So I guess that my vision is not like so intense and big as, like, you know, at least within my music. Mm-hmm. With my music, my intention is really that those things, let the music give people space to just be and, you know, maybe not accomplish anything, like just close your eyes for a minute and take a breath. And I know that life is so full and so intense for all of us. And so I hope I really hope that my music is a space where people can go kind of as a sanctuary within that intensity.
Yeah. It's so beautiful how you put, how you're able to put all of this in words. You also speak in a very poetic way.
Thank you. It's hard sometimes to put life into words, you know? It's the experience is big and words are kind of limiting, but I do my best. We all do our best.
Yeah, very, very nice. Very beautiful. So yeah, I feel it's like, for me, it's, yeah, I can feel when I listen to your music, this silence and this connection with nature, but also this connection with spirit.
Mm.
And also like energy, like I feel that I get more energy, like more, just more wholeness somehow. This is how I feel when I listen to your music. I mean, to just put it in words.
Yeah, no, that's that. I love nothing more than to hear what people's experiences, you know, when they, when they receive what I've, because as a musician, you know, you put it out and you, you know, have these hopes for what it'll be. But then I feel like it's almost like being a parent, you know, you give birth to this thing and you have certain hopes and ways that you guide it, but then it has a life of its own. And I think to hear how it reaches you, just, it means a lot. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Do you want to give like something at the end, you know, to our people who are watching and listening, something to, yeah, you want to give to them at for the end of our wonderful conversation?
I mean, I think the thing I would love to give most would be just a moment, you know, for people to breathe and be in that space within themselves before we go on to whatever the day has next. And one thing that I love, very simple thing that you can do from the Satnam Rasayan practice that comes from Buddhist meditation, is that when you close your eyes, you can start to use your sensations to take you into a relaxed state. So you notice the feeling of your breath. You notice like even the most subtle sounds that are in your breath. And you can feel the temperature on your skin. Does your skin feel warm or cool? Can you feel the sensations of your clothes on your skin? But as you notice these sensations, you can see how you can open your mind to not focus on any one thing, but feel everything you feel at once. And you can hear all the sounds that are louder and more present, but also the sounds that are really quiet and subtle. And at the same time, feeling everything you sense on your skin, even like you could feel the space around you, like you could feel what the air around you is experiencing. And relax into all of it. Just relax into this experience you're having. And take a breath in. Let it go. So that's what I like to do slow down.
Beautiful. Most beautiful end. I think that's the first short meditation like this on our channel.
Oh, fun. Really great. Yeah, I mean, that kind of like really little moment of just coming back into your body and coming back into yourself, like, I feel like that can be so powerful for me. And going into record, or like right before I record a song, I always do that. And it brings me to a space where then I feel like I can sing from. And then I think also, even if you're in, you know, in the car, you've just gotten to work and you have like 2 minutes before you have to go inside, you can give yourself a moment like that. You know, it doesn't, I think meditation doesn't have to be this thing with a really beautiful cushion and like a gorgeous, gorgeous space. You know, it can be anywhere.
That's quite amazing. I also did this now when you did your little meditation, and it's quite amazing that it just needs such a short moment to get so much energy, you know, and to reconnect to your inner self. I mean, it's really very powerful.
It is, yeah. And it changes the day, I think. Like giving yourself a moment at the beginning of the day or the end of the day, or especially I think when things get difficult, that's the hardest time to do something like what we just did. Mm-hmm. When you feel so much and you're so like angry or passionate or sad, it's hard then to sit with what you feel. But I think, yeah, in to give yourself that in any of those moments of the day can be very, very a big thing. A big action, even though it's a small action.
Yes, and then the solutions to whatever problem, they just come. They come not from the mind, but they come from different spaces. And so it's really the best thing you can do, especially also if you have like a difficult situation.
Yeah,
very true. Thank you so much for this beautiful conversation and all that you shared with us, and for your time.
My pleasure.
Awesome. So I will put your links. Maybe Ilana can send us the links you want to have in our show notes and in our video description.
Sure.
And then people can be more inspired from you. You also have beautiful meditations. I really love this one at the ocean, you know. So beautiful.
Good.
So they will be also very inspired if they see all of this. And let me know when you come back to Germany.
Yes, we definitely will. We'll be back soon. So great. Thank you so much for having this conversation, and also for, you know, the work you're doing to share these kinds of things with the world. It's a collaborative effort. So wishing you a beautiful day as well.
Thank you. You too. And say hi to your friends, and say hi to Ilana.
I will.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Take care.
You too.